to speak with power, with majesty, with might. In Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you that haven't been with us in this series on the Beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes of God, the happiness of God, the blessedness of God, we noticed how the sense of it is that there is a journey with God, a journey empowered by God, with the destination of God. Looking at those ingredients, I said to you earlier that it's kind of like happy trails. If you remember that from Roy Rogers, I'm a big Cowboy fan. And we come to these happy trails and we see where it's leading us. And each beatitude empowers the next one. And without the beatitudes, when we get to the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, we will have no power to live it. We will have no power to live it if we haven't drawn from the strength, the Spirit, that's listed in the Beatitudes. We began with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. They came to realize that they were powerless. They came to realize the need of God. We realize that we need God. I've been a Christian for over 50 years, and I need God as much 50 years later than I did at that moment. We realize our need of God. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We realize that God wants to meet our needs, and He opens us to mourn, not moan, to mourn the needs of our world, the needs of people for God, the needs for His righteousness. So we mourn, and He comforts. And then it says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Those are the people who have surrendered to God, so they're ready to be used of God. Without surrender to God, we're not ready to be used of God. And we looked at that last week, and I have to confess, by the way, right after I preached, blessed are the meek, and now we need to be there, my blood sugar went through a ball. And I was driving, and someone cut me off. And I was not a meek pastor. And I was angry, and I focused on all the wrong things. And I realized my need for meekness. But meekness is not just a particular attitude towards people who are trying to be gentle or not push our way. Meekness is the attitude that seeks the power and the kingdom of God to be in our lives. Meekness is the attitude that seeks to inherit what God wants to give us. Without that surrender, without that meekness, we cannot hope to receive all that God wants to give us. And today we come to, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And this speaks of the power of the willingness to be filled. We hunger and thirst for it, we long for it, and it's in that longing that we open ourselves to receive what God would give us. This is a powerful thing. And this happy trails and this journey. But someone said, there is a third dimension to traveling. The longing for what is beyond. The longing for what is beyond. And as we hunger and thirst for righteousness and do it God's way, it begins to happen. Now, we're going to short on time, so you're going to be spared a lot of stuff about cold water. So you can thank God for that later. But the title was, Old Dan and I with Throats Burned Dry and Souls That Cry for Water. By the way, Old Dan is a donkey. just a bicycle across Death Valley once. And you'd be surprised how many places I saw water. I just kept pedaling my bike till I knew where the water was. And I focused and I longed for it because it was 120 degrees. It was a thirsting. And as we thirst for God and we thirst in His Word, it begins to happen. And the song that was on Psalm 42, it says, my spirit pants like a deer, it pants for water. If you are thirsty, it fills you with what you seek. That panteth in the Old Testament even suggests not just of the desire, but a state of exhaustion and the need to come before it. In the Gospel of John, it said, whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them. Did you notice the comma? That is the journey for God when we hunger and thirst for God. The water just flows. And it refreshes and empowers. St. Augustine, he said, the desire is like prayers. If thy desire is without ceasing, thy prayer will also be without ceasing. The continuance of your longing is the continuance of your prayer. It is this longing for God to come in and make a difference. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Spurgeon, who was the greatest preacher of this generation, this century, said, the longing for righteousness blesses a people. Now, here's where we add the mourning and the meek and the longing. Weeks ago, I said about the things that I'm mourning on the side. And I seek to give those to God as His servant, as His soldier. And then I long for God to fill me to deal with it His way. When we see things in our world, we should long for God to be present in our lives and in our world. And with that comes power and blessing. Simply to long for God, because God will fill. This is what I've said for 6 years now. I've said, my vision is to have a people with vision. You all. Or if any of you are Pittsburghians, Brooklyn News guys. My vision is for you to have a longing for God from which He will empower you. This can be a simple thing. Simple is never in the way of the profound or the powerful. It's usually a pathway to the profound. After I preached this sermon on meekness, and I was so unmeek and so disgusted with myself, I thought of all the things I should have said, and I was even more disgusted with myself. So much so I even mourned. But I got to thinking of examples of this meekness that meek joins with longing. It's willing to be used of God. Difference it makes, and how when we don't have to be the center of attention, when we don't care whether we get the credit, we don't even care if we do it, but whether we can facilitate others doing that which God wants to happen, there is power there. I was thinking about the CEO of Ford. Do any of you know who that is? dynamic. Abraham, do you realize that he is a meek man? Just to understand. He went into that company, and there was maybe one or two people in that company that haven't always been meek. And he went to them and he called them to seek the best. And I had three or four people tell me a story about how he was in a meeting early in the game, and they were putting this one guy, I think he did something wrong. And now all the other leaders in the room said, yes, you did. And helped him to see all the things he did wrong. And then the CEO from Ford said, just as they thought they were done and they were spared any criticism, he said, with all of the people in this room, with all of your skills, I would have thought there was a way you could have helped him, that fellow. I would have thought as a team, we would have found a way to help that person. Without a couple other gestures, the culture of Ford became more acceptable to meekness and to longing. I'm not saying he's a Christian, but I've actually heard that he's a man of faith, but I don't know. Do you see how with the meekness and the longing, we seek for the kingdom to grow, for others to grow, to improve? Luther is seeking for righteousness, but he can't find it. And he tries teacher, he tries monk, he tries everything. And everything he does, he fails. I mean, he was a star to the people around him, but for the righteousness he sought, he didn't have it. And one day, reading in Galatians and Romans, he realized that what he was seeking was the righteousness of God and not Martin Luther. He substituted his quest to be a shining star, to be righteous, to be the recipient. And he longed for God's righteousness that loved him, that forgave him, that gave him grace and empowered him to be. And then when he was tested, he just said, I can't leave that. It's God's call upon his life. Calvin had a longing for the knowledge of God. He wanted to know God and know about God. And Calvin was one of the great scholars of his age. Regardless of person's faith, you read it, and you see the brilliance of his mind. But in the simplicity of his mind, he realized that God could be revealed in his word. And he let nothing get in the way of teaching the word, proclaiming the word, and using the word to focus and point to the glory of God. And nothing would get in the way. You see, he had this calling to know God and help others know God. And as he knew God, he beheld his glory. And he realized that his chief end was to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And he called us to do it. We go further in history, and I think of Martin. I think of Abraham Lincoln. A super skilled politician. Super skilled. But he wanted to hold the Union together, and he sort of wanted to free the slaves. But as he saw the suffering of a nation at great cost in battle, he realized that God had a call upon him to free the slaves. It was not politically advantageous in many of the ways that he did it. Some of it had a political side, but it was a calling that all people would be free. Let me read you a quote. We have forgotten the gracious hand which has preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened. future of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that makes us. As he does this, he realized that the God who made us all. And he extends himself in this effort, first in the Emancipation Proclamation and then the Amendment to Free. Gritty battles. If you had a meat toast definition of meat, you would say a meat person would have no chance. But a meek person is one who is submitted to the power of God and filled with it by the longing to do so, and then lives it out. Martin Luther King, a brilliant young preacher, rising quick, given opportunities that other black preachers didn't get because he was so talented. Deep within him arises a call that all people would be free, a call that God would make a difference. He calls to his people and he says to people, everyone can be great. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love to serve. Martin Luther King had his flaws. I love to read history, and I can tell you all of his flaws. I can tell you all the reasons that we might disqualify him from being the great person he was. But his greatness was he came before God in meekness, surrendered to the purpose that God had given him. And he went for it. And he went for it with meekness under control. He would be spit upon. He would be knocked down. He would be put in jail. It takes the power of God to put up with that stuff for the purpose of God. He writes, like quoting the prophet Amos, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. He didn't long for a trickle. He longed for the very power of God to change our land. And in the midst of his struggle, he writes these words. They're from the I Have a Dream speech, not the most famous portion of it. But here's what he said. There is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palaces of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking the cup of bitterness and hatred. He longed to be filled with God. He did not long to be filled with all the things that come when someone offends you, someone hurts you, someone rejects you. He sought for his cup to be filled with the mighty waters. We must forever continue our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. Meeting it with the Spirit of God that fills. You see, because he longed. He had a dream that came out of that longing. Now, some of the simple, I'm not belief category people. But time and again, I've seen some of you have a longing for a person or a little something you can do. And you let God do it. And God does it. Those who mourn, those who long for the ways of God will be filled. And the glory of it all is when we let God fill us, it transforms us. We realize even more our needs for God. About 6 years ago, to this church. But to quote it, King, I didn't even mention it was from King. Because that wasn't the point. The point is what he said. He said, we have to stop being a society that conforms to this world and be used by God to transform. God calls you to realize your need of Him, to mourn what you see around you, to surrender in meekness to His will and His ways, and in the longing to be filled. Thank you.